this evening. Amen. Well, I trust everyone's had a good week. Amen. We're certainly glad to have you here in the middle of the week, excited about opening up the Word of God and partaking of all that the Lord has for us. I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 11. We looked at this last week. We're going to stay in it this week. You left something out, need to go back to it, make sure we get it. I want to encourage also everyone that if you've been attending prayer with us, to keep coming out and attending. We're wrapping up this week. We got tomorrow morning, we got Friday morning, and we got Saturday. Tomorrow and Friday will be from 6 to 7. I believe my mom is leading it in the morning. And we'll have other people leading it on Friday. Then I'll lead it on Saturday, kind of wrap it up. On Saturday, it's from 10 to 11. On Friday and tomorrow, it'll be from 6 to 7. But if you can come out to it, we encourage you to come out. I've already heard some testimonies come from. I'll share a quick one with you. A lady came up to me, I believe it was either last Wednesday or this past Saturday, and was telling me that for years now, she's been on allergy medicines and all of these things, having to get shots and all this kind of rigmarole. And she said that she went on the fast and dedicated that time over to prayer. And she said she went back to whoever you go to judge those things. And she got a full, clean report. She had been on shots for years and all of these other kinds of things, taking all this antihistamines and sprays and pills and all these other kinds of deals. But since the fast, she's just been 100% completely free. And they ran all the allergy tests, can't find that she's allergic to anything. And so neat things happening, and I believe that there's some neat things coming your way as well. Remember what we said, if we give God more to work with, well, that means He's got more to work with. And if you put more in the Master's hands, it's just amazing what can happen when we do that. Amen? Amen. Let's read Mark chapter 11 here. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. All of this is written in the context of the fig tree. We talked about this last week. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. It withered up and died. We asked last week, why would Jesus do that? Why would He speak to a tree? And we said, I think that Jesus' point was to try to teach this lesson that He's about to teach, that He wanted to create an object lesson for His disciples to see, to illustrate a spiritual truth to them. And so after they question the fig tree, after they see that it's withered up from the roots and they call it to His attention, He goes into teaching them the following lesson found in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And He says this, Jesus answering, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now, this is huge. This is huge. We can't just skip over it and just read it because we've always read it and just kind of run through it. Think about it. This is the Master. This is the maker of heaven and earth. This is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. And He's teaching us how to move mountains, how to see the impossible. He's teaching us how to have the desires of our heart come to pass in our lives. And notice what He says in verse 24. Let's read it from the top again. He says, therefore I say unto you, it'd be one thing if I said it unto you, but this is Jesus saying it unto us. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. Now, He winds up this teaching on faith by teaching on love. And we know that makes perfect sense if you know your Bible. Because faith works by what? It works by love. I saw this quote today by Brother Hagin. I thought it was good. I'll read it to you real quick. He said this, he said about walking in love, he said, I refuse to think about, I like that, think about anything bad about anyone. I don't care what they do to me or what they say about me. And he said, why? Why would I not care? Why would I not care what people think about me? Why would I care? Why would I not care what people would say about me? And he said this, because it will affect my faith. And friends, I'm telling you, you can't harbor any unresentment in your heart. You got to keep your heart clean in order for your faith to work. Faith works by love. I was reminded of this today. I sent text to a friend. And I was reminded of this. I heard a preacher say this a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was good. He was talking about the horse Secretariat. Any of you remember that horse Secretariat? I think they made a movie about it. And he talked about the movie. I haven't seen the movie, but he made the movie sound like it was a pretty good movie. So if you've seen the movie and thought it was a good movie, tell me after the end of service. I'm out to two or three witnesses. I'll watch the movie. So with this... he's talking about Secretariat, and he went and did some homework on it because I guess he enjoyed the movie that much. And he was saying that when he did homework on Secretariat, because Secretariat was not only a great horse, but won a lot of races, just was dynamic and what did. Anyway, he said that when they did the autopsy of Secretariat, they found out that Secretariat's heart was three times the size of an average horse. Its heart was three times the size of an average horse. And that was why he had such a competitive advantage out on the track, was because his heart could pump out things so much faster. And with that, friends, I'm telling you, your heart can be your competitive advantage. But you got to keep it clean. And if you allow thoughts as to what other people did to you, or what other people have said about you, or what other people, how they treated you, and you harbor that unforgiveness towards them in your heart, it'll affect your faith. It'll stop you from being able to go forward like you should. He said the other thing that Secretariat had that he was strong in, not only did he have a strong heart, but he had the ability to make strong turns. I like that too. You got to learn how to turn. You got to be able to turn when you need to turn, when you need to make adjustments, when you need to make changes. You need to be quick to make changes. Remember what we said, and this will cover really both subjects. We said when the Lord deals with your heart to make changes, we don't make excuses, we make changes. We are always quick to do two things. All of us word lifers, all of us, every one of us, you and me, we're all in this boat. We're all quick to do two things. Number one, we're quick to forgive, right? You trespass against us, you hurt us, you wound us, buddy, we're quick to forgive you. Oh, man, we're quick to forgive. It doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you rub me the wrong way. What are you going to do? You're going to be quick to what? Forgive. You're going to let it go. You're going to let it slide. They cut you off. Who cares if they cut you off? You'll be cut off a million times before you die. You let it go. You let it slide. Quick to forgive. We're all, every one of us, are quick to forgive. And then number two, we will always be quick to repent. Quick to repent. When the Lord deals with your heart, be quick to repent. And if you can be quick to do those two things, you're good at making turns, good at making adjustments. And the Lord can take you far with those two things. You get a big, clean heart that just loves to serve God and is sensitive to God and love, God can take you far. If you learn to be quick to repent, quick to forgive, make those turns when you need to, you'll go far. So with that, Brother Hagin said, I've got to guard my heart. My heart is critically important. So I refuse to even think about it. Even that thought comes. Remember what we said a couple of Sundays ago? As soon as you get a thought in your heart about how someone trespassed you, what do you need to be saying out of your mouth? Oh, I forgive them. I forgive them. Just go ahead and talk about forgiveness. The Bible says to bless those that curse you, that you overcome evil with good. That's not talking about overcoming their evil with good. It's talking about that evil will try to creep in your heart. And you got to overcome the evil trying to creep in your heart. And the only way to overcome the evil that's in your heart is to overcome that evil with good. And that's why Jesus said, you got to love your enemies. You got to bless them. You got to pray for them. You got to do good to them. Why? It'll overcome all that mess that would try to attack your heart. So with that, we got to stay in love during this whole faith process, Jesus says. You got to forgive. And once we're quick to forgive, then God will be quick to forgive us. But he says some other things here. Some other things that are, I think, just critically important for this year. And I dare say that many of us in here tonight, we know these things. But it's not enough to know them. You don't get credit in the kingdom of God for the word you know. You get credit in the kingdom of God for the word that you do. Got to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word only, right? So with this, and I heard this Sunday night. Sunday, I felt a little spiritual restlessness come. You know, you can get tired in many different ways. Do you know that? You can get tired mentally. Any of you ever been tired mentally? Just your mind been running? Well, yeah, you can get tired mentally. How many of you know you can get tired physically? Anyone ever been tired physically? Well, typically on Sunday afternoon, I'm about both of those things. After preaching and all those things, and you know, that's kind of the highlight, the major point of my week is Saturday night and the three services on Sunday. And typically, I don't eat a whole lot before I preach. For, I guess, spiritual reasons, but also natural reasons. You know, you don't want to get up here with a full stomach. You know, well, I won't get into any of that. But anyway, so typically I'm pretty tired. And I'll go home, I'll eat something, and then I'll take a nap or I'll watch TV, watch sports. You know, I'm a little bit sad football's going on. But anyway, I was watching football Sunday and watched the Broncos, who I had beaten. I had beaten the Patriots. And then I watched, got over into the Broncos game, or not the Broncos game, the 49ers Seahawks game. And I had the 49ers winning, and I think they should have. Richard Sherman. Yeah. But anyway, so with that, halfway through the game, I felt myself that I was spiritually tired. You know, sometimes you give out and you need to just pause and take in. You got to refill your tank. And when you're spiritually tired, a lot of times for Christians, they think they're mentally or physically tired. But if they would just get spiritually refreshed, both of those other two things would be renewed too. Because the Lord can not only give you spiritual strength, but He's the God of all strength. All throughout the New Testament, Paul would pray that you'd be strengthened with all power, all strength. See, there's all types of power. There's financial power, there's financial strength, there's physical power, there's mental power, there's spiritual power. And oftentimes when you're strengthened with spiritual power, those other things take a kick up as well. So anyway, I just felt myself spiritually tired, so I put the game on mute, pulled up my computer, and was just going to listen to some podcasts, read my Bible, things like that. And I knew that there was a meeting held in a particular church. And I pulled up the church meeting, just began watching it, the guy speak. And while he was speaking, he said this. And when he said this, man, it stood with me, just stayed with me for the first part of this year. He said that he was talking about a period of time, and he referred to that period of time that when he was praying about it, the Lord told him it was like a bridge. Any of you ever been on a bridge before, like a long bridge? You know, when I think of a bridge, you think about the bridge going across the Mississippi River. I've seen the Golden Gate Bridge, but think about a big bridge that way, just a big bridge. Well, if you're on a bridge, you can't just go left or right, right? Yeah, I got one or two options on a bridge. You're either going forward or you're going back. There is no, well, we'll go over here for a while. No, you only got one or two options on a bridge. You can go forward or you can go back. And when he said that, it just went off on the inside of me that the first part of this year, it's like a bridge. It's like a bridge. And you got one of two choices. You can go back, but if you go back, you're going to stay back for a while. It's not just going back for a time or a season. If you go back in the first part of this year, you're going to stay back. You're going to stay back. And the past, the bad thing about the past is it's abandoned. God's not in the past. It's abandoned. You ever been in an abandoned part of town, abandoned city? It's not safe, right? You get over into some places that have been abandoned for too long, and there's just blight, and there's not a lot of provision, not a lot of places you can stop and fill up with gas or stop and get groceries. Why? It's abandoned. There's no one there. And the past is the same way. There's not a lot of people there, in your past at least. See, most of the people have moved on. And if you go back, you're going back to that place. It's not just a visit. You'll stay there for a while. Don't go back, friend. Don't go back to the past. Not at this time. Not in this season. There is no turning. You're either going one way or the other. You're either going back or you're going forward. But for those of us who'll choose this year to press, to move forward, We've said this before, but the call of God will pull you. See, there's some things that you and I are called to do. And by God's grace and by his mercy, he'll pull you forward. Now, if you don't operate with that call, then God doesn't have anything to pull with. But the call of God will pull you forward. It'll pull a vision forward. Faith pushes the vision forward. It pushes it forward. And I think for many of us, God's calling us. He's awakening something on the inside of us. You remember David when he was called to be king? Samuel came out there, anointed him as king. But after he was anointed, he set out with the sheep still. He didn't just go back and be king right after that. Because the call was there, but the timing wasn't right. But when the time for the vision came, it pulled him. It pulled him right into Saul's court. He didn't even ask to be there, didn't try to be there. But Saul is asking someone, come play for me. Come play for me. Why? It wasn't David believing for that so much as God knew he needed to be trained for that. And the call pulled him to that office. The call pulled him into that place. And so a lot of times the call will do that for all of us. It'll pull us forward. And there's some things, and you know this to be true. All of us know this to be true. There's some things that if it wasn't for the goodness of God and the mercy of God, you never would have got out of them, right? I mean, you didn't believe for them necessarily. It was just God came and snatched you out of them. What was that? It was the call of God on your life. It was his abundant mercy and grace. Now, there are some people who had the same snatch, but they didn't want to work with it. They just wanted to stay where they are. They refused it and stayed where they were. That's why you can't go back to the past. God's calling you forward, and he can try to help pull you forward, but if you're determined to go back, he'll let you go back. Then what Jesus said, he said, you got to remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. You look back, you'll stay back. Come on, somebody. But with this, faith, on the other hand, pushes the vision forward. The call of God will pull it forward, but faith pushes it forward. Now, there's some times where you're pushing with your faith, but it seems as if you're not making much headway. But when you take the two, you take faith pushing the vision, and then you get the call of God pulling the vision, and you get both of them working at the same time, buddy, you'll be amazed at how fast you can see some results. And this is a season where it's not just time to push, but it's also time where God's pulling. It's where God's calling people into the king's courts. He's pulling people into the king's courts. And people are going to have to push. You and I are going to have to push with our faith, push that vision forward. That's what faith is designed to do. It's God's tool to see his hand push some things. Not just pull some things, but push some things. But we got to be diligent to know how to work it. And here we see Jesus teaches us how to have faith in God. It'd be one thing if he said, have faith in God, and didn't tell us how to do it. But here Jesus said, I want all of you to have faith in God. The just shall live by faith. Wonderful, Jesus, but how in the world do you do that? How in the world do you live by faith? How do you have faith in God? And he goes on for the next couple of scriptures here, doing a wonderful job teaching us incredibly simple how to have faith in God. So this year, you've got to determine to go forward. Not enough to sit on that bridge. You sit on it, you'll drift back. You got to get determined to get uncomfortable. Remember, we've said this for quite some time now, but get it in you. Anytime you're comfortable, you're not growing. Anytime you're comfortable, it means you're not growing. The only way to grow is to get uncomfortable. I just found this out with working out. I always thought that when you lifted weights, that's when you grew muscle. Turns out that's not when you grow muscle. You grow muscle when you rest. When you work out, you're telling your muscles it's not good enough to stay at this level. You better expand. And so you break those muscles down, and then when you rest, you put more muscle back on because you've told your body, we are not going to stay comfortable. And what I'm telling all of us is it's time to get those muscles working, those spiritual muscles of faith working, where we tell ourselves, we tell our heart, it's not good enough to stay where we are. We got to get uncomfortable here. We got to get working on some things. And when you get working on some things, that's when you see the growth, after you've worked on it. You don't get muscle growth without lifting any weights. And you don't see results spiritually until you go to work spiritually. But you go to work spiritually, that's when you see some results spiritually. But just like lifting weights can make you uncomfortable, exercising faith can make you uncomfortable because it takes work. We got to go to work. And so Jesus tells us how to go to work. He says, I want you to go to work with your mouth. The same way God went to work in Genesis chapter 1 and throughout the Bible, Jesus said, I want you to go to work that way too. Work with your mouth. Yes, I'll bless the work of your hands, and every one of us need to be working with our hands. The Bible tells us you don't work, you don't eat. And he's talking about doing work with your hands. God blesses the work of your hands. But God not only wants to bless the work of your hands, he wants to bless the work of your mouth. He wants your mouth moving some things. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He says, have faith in God. Well, how do I have faith in God? Let's read it again. Verse 23. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, that's me and you, shall say unto, now look at this part. I didn't mention this last week. This mountain, notice that. This mountain, not a mountain, this mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, last week, we gave you a three-pronged kind of strategy for getting in faith. Number one, we said believe. Then we said number two, speak. Then we said number three, receive. Number one, believe. Number two, speak. And number three, receive. And as I was praying this week, the Lord said, no, there's one before believe. One before believe. And it's decide. Decide. We see another example of that in verse 24. Let's read it. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you ought, desire when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. There you see all four again. It's not just speaking, the prayer part. It's not just believing. It's not just the receiving. But it's also you got to have a desire first. You have to decide. Now notice what Jesus said, this mountain. He's talking about something in specific. And in order for faith to work, faith has to be focused. This is why it can be a dangerous thing to have your faith on 10 different things. You stretch your faith and you forget to use it for different things, it'll fall flat. You got to work faith for faith to produce results. You got to work your muscles for your muscles to produce results. Faith's the same way. And if you forget to use it for something, then God can't work there. I put it to you this way. If your faith is not working on it, God's not working on it. If my faith is not working on my kids, God can't work on my kids. If my faith is not working on my finances, God can't work on my finances. He needs my faith. My faith must go before him. Just like with salvation, God can't save you until you exercise faith for salvation. But once you exercise faith for salvation, God can go to work and save in your soul. But faith had to go to work first. And so with this, the key to faith, the first starting place, is you decide on something. You have made a firm decision. My life will not be without this. I will see this come to pass in my life. You decide on it, you desire it, and you set your affection there. And I said, once that affection is set, now you go to work on it. Once you've set that desire, once you've picked out your mountain, you go to work on it. Well, how do you go to work on it? Number one, you build your belief. You build your belief. Now, how does faith come? We know this, but how does faith come? Faith comes by and hearing by the Word of God. The more Word of God I hear, the more belief I have in the Word. That's step number one. Now, remember what we said last week with this believing issue? After I've decided what I want, I've got to go to what I believe. And remember, we said, how do I know my belief is strong enough? We said your belief is strong enough when the belief that is in your heart can police your brain. Because the enemy, he doesn't attack you here. You're born again here. He attacks your mind. And he will bring thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to your mind, thoughts of worry, thoughts of anxiety, thoughts of cares to try to cloud your mind. But you know your faith is strong enough when the faith that is in your heart can arrest the thoughts that come to your mind. And the only way to get your faith that way is to feed your faith and starve your doubts. You cannot go around thinking about the problem, meditating on the problem, seeing the problem, reading about the problem, discussing the problem. You can't talk major on the problem. No, you got to major on the Word of God. And this is why the enemy has done everything he can to take the Word of God out of churches. People aren't opening their Bibles anymore. They aren't reading their Bibles anymore. Because the enemy knows if he can get you out of the Word of God, he can also get you out of faith. Faith is not a burst of faith, it's a life of faith. Faith is not a moment of faith, it's a lifetime of faith. God wants us living by it. And so the only way to be living in faith is to be living in the Word too. Most people, instead of feeding their faith and starving their doubts, they feed their fears and starve their faith. Who was it, Moody, who said, people expect to have strong faith, feed their bodies three hot meals a day and their spirit one cold snack a week. Not going to cut it. If I want strong faith, I got to feast upon the Word of God. But then that's not only enough. He said it's not enough to just believe it in your heart. He said after that, you got to say it with your mouth. You got to speak to your mountain. Speak to the mountain. And he backs that up with verse 24 and talking about prayer. So here, really, in verse 23 and 24, we see three types of speaking. We see the first type of speaking being confession, confessing with your mouth the belief you have in your heart. Then we see prayer in verse 24. Then if I'm going to believe I received when I prayed, then that means that automatically gets me over into thanksgiving. So I have three types of words that should be coming out of my mouth. If I've got a belief in my heart and I want to see my mountain move, I want to see my desire come to pass, I got to be speaking to that mountain, but I also got to be praying, and I need to also be giving thanks, and that should be the bulk of your prayer life after you prayed the prayer of faith. We talked about that in Three Simple Prayers. You can go over that in our podcast and download that series. We don't have time to get over into that right now. But with this, what I am trying to get every one of us to do is to see if I can push this thing forward and God pulls this thing forward at the same time. By the end of this year, things can look so radically different for my life, my family, my church, my business, my company, that it absolutely will give glory to God because only He could have done it. And this is what the world needs. It needs to see the glory of God. All right, now with this in mind, go over to the book of Luke. Book of Luke. On the screens, go to Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. Book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 5. On the screens, Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. We'll read this on the screens first. I had this scripture in my heart for a couple of weeks now, and then I think it was two Sundays ago, Brother Dean came up and told me he ministered on this scripture healing school. And with this, there's a point here I feel like we need to bring out. It says in Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the voice of him. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Notice, the way of the Lord must be prepared. If it's not prepared, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord must be prepared. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, if you look up in whatever translation you want to look up, you see they keep using that word highway. And the reason why they use that word highway is because that's exactly what he's talking about. He's not talking, Brother Dean brought this out to me. This is how I know I give Brother Dean the credit. Next time I preach, I'll say, someone once told me. Then the third time I preach, it'll be like I always say. But with this is the first time, so I'll give Brother Dean all the credit. Notice this, in the desert, a highway for our God, not a beaten path. Not a little woodsy path, not a little road, a highway. God says, I want a highway to come down. When you prepare a highway for me, Notice what he'll do. A highway for our God, verse 4. Every valley needs to be exalted. Every mountain and hill needs to be made low. Every crooked place needs to be made straight. And the rough places need to be made plain. Verse 5. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all flesh, notice, shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now notice what happens after the highway is built. Not path, highway. After the highway is built, after the crooked places have been made straight, after the low places have been made high, after the high places have been made low, notice what happens after all that. Not before it. After all of that, notice what happens. Then the glory of the Lord is revealed. And all flesh together, then they see it. We will never see the glory of God in anything until a highway has been prepared for God's glory to roll in on. If I want to see, let's just stop here. What does that mean, to see the glory of God? What does that mean, to see the glory of God? Well, I'll give you some examples out of Luke here. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 5. Luke 5, and look at verse 25. Luke 5, verse 25. And you know the story here. We've talked about it on a couple of Sundays ago. Where Jesus raised the man off of his bed. He was a paralytic, and his friends couldn't get him in the house, so they tore the roof off of someone's house, let him down, and Jesus saw their faith and healed him. Notice how it describes this miracle. And immediately he rose up before him, the man who couldn't walk, and took up that where he laid and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they did what? Glorified God and were filled with reverence, would be the appropriate word there. That's what that word fear means. Saying, we have seen strange things today. What does it mean to see the glory of God when we glorify God? It means that what we just saw, only God could have gotten the credit for. Only God could get the credit for this man rising and walking after he had been lame for that long. Only God could have done it. And let me give you another example where you can see this is what the glory of God means. Luke chapter 7, right next door. I tried to pick two close together. Luke chapter 7, because I like you. Luke chapter 7, and let's look here in verse 11. Luke 7, 11. And it came to pass on that day after, that he being Jesus, went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he had come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Aren't you thankful the Lord has compassion? Oh my goodness, that just simply means his heart was moved to action. I love that definition for compassion. It just means your heart is moved to action. Your heart just wants to do good. And notice, his heart was moved with compassion, and he said unto her, weep not. Now, he's at the funeral. He's at the funeral. And he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the casket. Just touched the casket. And they that bare him, talking about the boy who died, just stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now, Jesus did this a lot. He not only touched it with his hand, he touched it with his mouth. He did this a lot. You remember even Peter's mother-in-law? He touched her forehead and told her to arise. Same thing with Jairus' daughter. He touched it with his hand and he touched it with his mouth. I'm telling you, those of you are in business, you need to believe God for this, that when you touch it with your hand, it automatically qualifies it to prosper, because God has promised to bless the work of our hands. But I'm not only supposed to touch it with my hand, what else should I be touching it with? I need to be touching it with my mouth. Touch your business with your mouth. Lift up your mouth, confess, pray, give thanks, and let God move. But notice this, he not only touched it, but he also spoke to it. In verse 15, and he that was dead sat up. I like that. You touch it with your hand, you touch it with your mouth, even if it's dead, it can raise up. Some of you got dreams that you've let go. You need to put your hand back to it. You need to get your mouth touching it. Let that thing rise up in you again. You got to touch it, though. You got to speak to it. And he said this in verse 16. And there came a fear. And he said, verse 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And they came a fear or reverence on all. And they did what? Glorified God. Now, once again, what does it mean to see the glory of the Lord? It means you see something, and when you see it, you realize only God. Only God could have done that. So here Isaiah's talking about that he wants us, God does, to be in a position to see his glory, to see it. And when we see his glory, it means that we step back and say, only God could have done that. Only the Lord Jesus could have done that. Why? He wants the testimony to get out. He wants his goodness to be heard. So with this, notice though, how do we see the glory of God? A way for God to move has to be prepared first, then we see his glory. Let me ask you this. What was preparing the way? There was a voice. A voice. A voice that went before him. Now we know this is talking about John the Baptist. And let me ask you this. When John was preparing the way for the Lord to come, was he out there with a sledgehammer and an axe and a chainsaw physically preparing the way of the Lord? No. What did he do? He got out and preached. He got out and preached. He got up out and lifted up his voice. In fact, the Bible magnifies John's voice above John. His voice prepared the way. His voice, when he lifted up his voice, it prepared the way for Jesus to move. And friend, I'm telling you, your voice is the same way. Your voice is the tool God has given you to prepare the way of the Lord. But you got to get it moving. You got to open it up and start speaking and believing. I'll give you an example of the glory of God. This example happened today. I like fresh examples. The old ones are good too. You're going to hear my old ones as long as you're here. But I like fresh ones too. So with this happened today. Well, it kind of took place yesterday too. Yesterday, I was praying, just in my office back there praying, just for fun. And with this, I don't remember praying anything specifically. I was just praying. And with this, just fellowshipping with the Lord spoke to my heart, and he told me, he said, I want you to cut a check for $5,000 to this particular ministry. And as you know, we're looking to keep doing big gifts. So I thought, okay, Lord, we can do that, no problem. $5,000, got it, this particular ministry. Well, I left it at that, went home a couple hours later, packed up and went home, and went to sleep, woke up this morning. I had a little devotional, went and worked out, and then came back, and I was reading the paper. And while I was reading the paper, I was just praying in the Spirit, just reading the paper. You got to do that when you read the paper. And with this, I was just praying there. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to tell the office to go ahead and start sending out the check. Also text the minister and tell him it's coming. I thought, I don't want to do that. I just thought that in my heart. I don't want to do that. I don't, you know, because when you're doing something like that, you don't want him to think you're bragging. You know, I'm sending you this money. Just want to let you know. Like you're trying to fish for a compliment. You know what I'm saying? Like you gave someone a cake and you didn't hear anything from them. Right? So you send them a little note or send a little, did you like the cake? So I didn't want to do that. And then two, I thought, well, it'd just be much funner if it was a surprise. You know, you open up the mail, there's a check. That'd just be funner. And I'm thinking all this. And while I'm thinking all this, once again, your heart will arrest your mind if you're sensitive to your heart. This is why it's hard to be led by the Spirit of God if you're thinking too hard. You get your mind talking so loud, it's hard to hear that still small voice. So finally, once my mind quieted down, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to send the check. Or not only send the check, but text him, let him know. And I thought the adults again, I don't want to do that. I don't want to think I'm bragging. It'd be more fun if you send the check. All right. So I quit arguing with God. So I told him to send the check. Then I texted him. I said, just want to let you know. I want to bless your ministry. Had you on my heart. Send you a check for $5,000. Just left it at that. Well, a couple of minutes later, my phone beeps. I looked down my phone, and he says, glory to God, several exclamation points. And he said, I can't wait to tell you the testimony. Well, I thought, well, go ahead and tell me the testimony. I'd like to hear the testimony. I like testimonies. This is a tree of life to your faith. When you hear testimony, it inspires you, your faith when you hear testimonies. So with that, I thought, well, maybe he'll call me. Well, about an hour later, he calls me. He was in a meeting at the time, come to find out. So he calls me. And he said, back in December, we had it on our heart to go over to Nigeria in January. That's a pretty quick turnaround for an international trip. We had it on our heart to go over there, and we were setting some things up to do crusades and that kind of stuff. And the Lord's moving in Nigeria. He has been for a while. And anyway, he said we targeted our faith for a certain amount of money that we needed to do that, to set all these things up, to run these meetings. Anyway, he said we got the office people who were working in the office together, and we all decided, once again, go back to step number one, you got to focus your faith. Faith without focus will never produce nothing. You got to focus your faith. What are you believing God for? If you couldn't tell me right now, you're not in faith. There ought to be something burning in your heart as to what you're believing God for. Passionate desire. Most people don't have desire. They have wishes. Just little whims. No, you need a desire that's alive in you, burning in you. So with that, they set their faith on this amount of money that they needed to do this conference, to go over there and all those kinds of things. Got an agreement with it in the office. So December goes by, not too much comes in. January comes by, you know, and we're in January now, not too much comes in. Well, earlier this week, some people in Nigeria said, we want to help you come. So they sent them a check that covered a good sum of it. But they still were lacking some money. And he told me that the amount of money we sent them, $5,000, was the exact amount of money that they needed and we're believing for in order to take the trip. Now, guess when they fly out? Tomorrow. Well, what is that? We're just standing there glorifying Jesus, glorifying that we're led, glorifying that he's got his Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, glorifying about the work that's going to be done in Nigeria, glorifying that God's got his hand on the trip, glorifying God that meets all our needs and provides supernaturally. Wasn't planning on sending him a check. Didn't think about sending him a check until the Lord spoke to my heart to send him a check yesterday. And what if I wouldn't have sent that text today, letting him know the money's on the way? And I didn't even know what he was there for. My point is, at the end of that, all anyone can say is glory to God. Glory to God. And this is what God wants more of in your life and mine, is where we just step back and say, oh, only Jesus. Only Jesus could have done this. How's he going to do it? You got to do what they did. You got to set your faith on it. Got to build your faith, believing it's all going to come to pass. And then you got to open your mouth and speak those promises out of it. This works for people all the time. I think I told this testimony. I'll tell it and we'll close. There was a teenager in the church. I was preaching one Wednesday night, and my wife was there, and we were driving home on the way home. And she said, while you were preaching, I just felt on the inside that we're to give this particular individual some polo shirts. Oh, my, polo shirts. All right, great, polo shirts. And so we thought, okay, we'll go do it. So we contacted his mother because we didn't know his size. What size shirts? We want to give him some polo, not just any kind of shirts, polo shirts, shirts with a horse on it. Polo. With this, just had it on our heart to do it. My wife had it on her heart while I was preaching. The Lord just put it in her heart. Well, anyway, come to find out, and we bought him a couple of shirts, brought it to him, that exactly about like 2 weeks before that, he had sowed a seed and put on his list that he wanted some polo shirts. Wanted some new polo, exactly, polo. I think he even may have wrote out some colors and got the colors. Come on, somebody. So it works for people in ministry. But aren't you thankful that the promises of God aren't for senior pastors or just aren't for senior? How many of you know they'll work for teenagers? They'll work for you. They'll work for nurses. They'll work for secretaries. They'll work for teachers. But you know when they work? You know when they work? When you work them. When you work them. How wide is your path? Is it a little path? Is it a little crooked place in a wilderness? Or have you really gone through with your words and made the crooked places straight? Have you gone through with your words and made the high places low and the low places high? Get your words on it and start speaking to that mountain. This mountain, speak to that specific desire. Watch God go to work. Watch the end of this year be so much better than the start of this year. Amen. I don't know about you, I'm going forward. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Oh, Lord, we love you. You are amazing. You are amazing, Lord. And we glorify you. We praise you. We magnify you. And we thank you, Lord. We will not go back. We'll not go back with our words. We'll not go back with our thought life. We'll not go back with our actions. Lord, we're going forward. We're going forward in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for every person here. And we'll be sensitive. We'll be sensitive in what to say. And Father, I thank you that the words you've spoken to us will be faithful to speak through us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.